Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On Wednesdays, we get the perspective from Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports Radio, NBC Sports Network, NBC Football Night in America. Hello, Florio.
Hey, how are you guys?
What up, Mike?
I think we were expecting running back for the last month, and that never materialized. But I got to tell you, man, it's the trade of the day, in my opinion. A better fit to Deshaun Jackson? Yeah, maybe, but Golden Tate's a better receiver than Deshaun Jackson. You agree? And what do you think of the trade?
When I saw that it had happened, my first thought was, you know, Nelson Aguilar is the slot guy. You're bringing in a slot guy who's got 8 games left on his contract for a third-round pick. But then the more I thought about it and I saw what Howie Roseman had to say yesterday, the idea that they're going to move these guys all over the place, I wouldn't be surprised. And maybe I'm influenced by what I saw Monday night when the Patriots repeatedly gave the ball to receiver Cordarrelle Patterson as a running back. What if Golden Tate becomes another factor in the backfield? He's got 42 carries for 208 yards for his career. That's 5 yards a carry. So, you know, maybe that's something they do, or they simulate a running game with short, quick passes to him, have him do a bunch of different things. Yeah, he's not going to take the top off of defense, but he's going to make the offense more diverse to the extent that they can get him up to speed quickly. I mean, there's always a challenge there. It's like changing a tire on a moving car when you jam a new guy in, but he's got the experience. He's got the intensity. And I like the idea of a Super Bowl champion with some veterans from other teams who come in and maybe kick everything in the butt and shake off some complacency. And I think there's been a little of that so far this year. So I like the move after thinking about it. My first reaction, though, was why? But, you know, why not is what I thought after a few hours.
How do you see the NFC looking after this move that the Eagles? I mean, I don't think any of us think that the Eagles leapfrog the Rams or the Saints. But when you get past those two teams, where do you see the Eagles sort of fitting in at in the NFC?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Eagles are a team that has to focus on obviously winning its division. It's going to be hard to make it to the playoffs without winning the NFC East. And Washington has now won 3 in a row, and they're at 5-2. And it's good for the Eagles that they get 2 cracks at Washington the rest of the way. But winning the division, realizing that the 3 seed is probably the best case scenario, and hoping to get lucky, to get hot at the right time, to catch one of these top seeds in the NFC flat-footed in a divisional round game and take advantage of that playoff experience from last year. Not that Carson Wentz has any of it, but enough other guys on the roster. I think for the Rams especially, they're going to be vulnerable in their first playoff game because they lost last year to the Falcons. They have very limited playoff experience, and the guy that's got the most, Andrew Whitworth, his experience is going one and out every year. So I think the Rams are really, you know, you get a team like that that's high scoring, and if you could just knock them wobbly early on, maybe you can knock them out, and I think that that's going to be a fascinating storyline, and maybe the Eagles are going to be the team that gets the chance to do it.
It's amazing, Mike. Real quick, John, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had painted the same picture earlier in our show, just how you just sort of painted it out right there with the Rams. They look great right now, but they don't know what pressure is until they get in the playoffs and have to win that game in the second round, potentially.
Same thing for the Chiefs, too, because they haven't won a home playoff game since Joe Montana was their quarterback, and that's going to be the narrative as they get closer to the postseason. And all it takes is one. That's the thing about single elimination. One bad day.
Yep.
Destroys an entire season. And if you fall behind 10 points at home and you start getting nervous and what's going on and the other team is feeling loose and confident and they got nothing to lose and maybe they go for it on fourth down more frequently, they have a fake punt or they take chances they wouldn't otherwise take because, again, they're not supposed to win the game. Those division round games can be very exciting from that perspective because the quote-unquote best team may end up feeling the most heat and getting in a precarious position quickly.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and everything else that he does, joins us every Wednesday at 3:35. Mike, the NFC East, Ike asked you about the NFC. What about the NFC East? We're at least for the Eagles halfway point on the bye week 4-4. Clinton Dix goes to the Redskins via trade, and Amari Cooper, I guess last week, went to the Cowboys via trade. How do you handicap this race right now? The Redskins obviously have the lead. I feel like that they're a decent team, but the Eagles can make up the ground. Where do you see the NFC East?
Yeah, I mean, Washington strikes me as kind of that grinded out meat and potatoes, low margin for error, just get it done. And as long as Adrian Peterson is healthy, they're going to be fine. But how long can he stay healthy? What he's done so far is remarkable. It's amazing. It's comeback player of the year type stuff. I mean, my favorite fact of the week is at 33, he is only one of four guys that age to have 60-yard-plus touchdown runs in league history. One's Jim Thorpe, one's Rocky Blyer, and the other one is Steve Bono, for crying out loud. So, you know, it really is impressive, but is it sustainable? And I think for the Eagles, look, that win over Jacksonville was big, and 4-4, okay, once you accept the fact that this isn't going to be last year, that this is an entirely different animal. You're not going to do it the easy way. You're going to have to do it the hard way. You're going to have to go on the road. You're going to have to scratch and claw and fight. And, and the pressure's never going away just because you've lost some games because you're still the defending champions. I didn't like that narrative last week from Doug Peterson that the pressure's off. It's not off,
right?
Because you're still the defending Super Bowl champions. Just accept where you are and go at it 1 week at a time. And and try to catch Washington, and having two shots at Washington is key. And I think those two games may go those two games and the two games against the Cowboys. That's half of the remaining schedule. It's going to go a long way toward determining what happens with the Eagles.
It really is, Mike. How does this now end with Le'Veon Bell? How does this work out with him not being traded? He wouldn't report, so he couldn't sign the tender, so he can't be traded. But how does this all work out now in Pittsburgh?
Well, I have a feeling, and I have nothing to base this on, and we would never know that this is what happened because they can't tell the world that they reached this agreement, because it would be an unenforceable deal and it would probably be a violation of the collective bargaining agreement. But it occurred to me yesterday that the Steelers don't want him to come back. They are ready to roll with James Conner. I heard a couple of weeks ago that he never comes up in the building. They have moved on without him, and people outside the building talk about Le'Veon Bell far more than people inside the building talk about him. So, as he faces this deadline 13 days from now to show up once and for all or not at all, because after Tuesday the 13th of November, if he doesn't show up, he can't play for anyone in 2018. The danger for him not showing up, if he doesn't show up, the Steelers can tag him again next year at $14.54 million. So the presumption all year has been, surely he will show up so he doesn't end up in the same spot next year that he's in this year, and they continue to squat on him until they finally decide just to be done with it. Well, what if the Steelers say to him, all right, Le'Veon, here, we get where you're coming from. You don't want to risk injury. You don't want to be overused. You don't want to undermine your payday that you expect in March. How about this? You don't show up, and we won't re-tag you next year, and you'll leave as a free agent, and we'll get consideration for your departure toward compensatory draft picks, and it's a win-win, or it's a lose-lose, or whatever it is, it's an acceptable solution, because they'd save $6 million, and I really don't think they want the distraction, the headache, especially since things are going well now.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Le'Veon Bell shows up, and the vibe changes. And I think they would consider rescinding the tender. If they rescind the tender, though, they get nothing for him now or later. So why not essentially rescind the tender by saying, don't show up, and we won't apply the tender next year, and then they get the compensatory draft pick consideration, and they don't have to worry about Bell showing up and just creating problems at a time when things are going well.
Yeah, screw up my fantasy team, man. James Conner, he's carrying one of my teams, Mike.
And it's amazing how well the guy's playing. And I said before the season, if they believe James Conner's the guy, they could just rescind the tender. But, you know, they've been reluctant to have an outcome that gets them nothing in return. And because they signed two unrestricted free agents back in March and they lost only one, if they would rescind the tender on Le'Veon Bell, they would have net free agency losses of zero and they would get no compensatory draft pick next year. So rescinding the tender isn't really an option. But the best option for them could be to just say, don't show, we'll let you walk away, you go get your money, we move on with James Conner, and everybody's as happy as they can be under the circumstances.
All right, there is Mike Florio. Happy Halloween. Do you shut your lights out? Are you the guy that shuts the lights out in the house?
No, I found a better solution. move on top of a hill with a really steep road.
Yeah, nobody's because walking up that hill.
Yeah, that, because when you're a kid, it's like you try to pick the neighborhood with the maximum concentration of houses. And I joked around a couple of years ago, anybody who actually walks up the hill to our house, I'm just going to give you $100. And it's like, well, before that becomes a thing, let's make sure we're just joking here, because the last thing I need is a long line of kids expecting their Ben Franklin.
Yeah, I'll come over for $100.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, appreciate it, man.
All right, see you.
Appreciate it, Mike.
There he is. Yeah, you get. My parents live on a main road, so you never had kids. They would literally get two or three kids. The direct neighbors would come over and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But so if you do that, you have to give out the full bars, I think.
Oh yeah, it's funny because when I first moved in my development 10 years ago, I was the third house in my development. There's 33 of them in there now. So we had a couple years of Halloween there where, yeah, it was like a five house.
Not a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot going on
now.
And the good thing, the kids were much smaller then. Us in full development now. They'll start there and then go somewhere else. They'll go to somebody else's neighborhood.
We got your phone calls coming up next. 888-729-9494. Seems like everybody loves this Golden Tate trade.
Good move. Good move.
Howie, hopefully everybody else in this city is watching what you're doing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.